You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. Yeah, like the dude just said, covering all of it. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, I'm going to number three on the triple dipper right now. I'm calling this section monkey business. Now, I don't know about y'all. When I was a kid, maybe it was just a family thing. I don't know. I thought it was a phrase everybody used, but I mean, I can remember times like my grandfather, he would see us kids running around doing some yahoo thing, and he'd say, "What kind of monkey business are y'all up to?" Meaning, it was obvious something was afoot, and he was onto it, and he wanted to know what kind of monkey business we were up to. So I'm titling this whole section here, Monkey Business. And the first story that caught my attention, the one that made me want to do this, I actually called my buddy Jeff Poore yesterday and said, "Man, y'all just ran that story. What are you doing tomorrow around 3 or 4 o'clock?" And so anyway, he's coming on the phone with us. He's got a piece here about a nonprofit that state legislators here in Alabama put like $109,000 into to help with redistricting. The heck? All right. Without further ado, let me just bring on my friend Jeff Poore. He's the host of the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5 in the mornings down yonder in Mobile. He's also the editor-in-chief at 1819 News. Hey, Jeff Poore, how you doing, bud?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, this article, I know Caleb Taylor from 1819 News is the one who wrote it, but I knew with your political disposition you'd have some thoughts on it. 501c4. I mean, I as an attorney, I can just tell you, I double checked, but a 501c4 can get as political as it wants to get. It can lobby, it can endorse. What is going on with legislators putting $109,000 into a 501c4?
And the legislators are just the ones we know about. There's a probable cause to think that there are other entities that are putting money into this, but from what we can tell, and look, we've asked these legislators, well, what the heck is going on here? And no one's really being forthright about it. But the best we could figure is it was seen as sort of a group effort that you need to put money in this to help with the redistricting effort. And that's legal, and that's map drawing, and that's all these things that the legislature's been tasked with doing, but they needed a third-party apparatus to do this. And why, you know, you're sitting there thinking, well, this is an essential function of the government. Why do you need a third-party nonprofit to do this? Doesn't that seem weird? No one really has an answer for that. It's all very bizarre. But, I mean, it just there's potential conflict of interest right and left on this thing.
Well, I'd say there is. I mean, because it was geared towards redistricting. It was toward the drawing of the maps, like you said. And I was down there for two of the redistricting efforts, you know, the main one plus the redo when the court said we had to. And yes, you have to have outside consultants. We don't know how to draw those maps and guarantee we have the right amount of the population base inside of the district lines and where the streets end. I get it. But the pro tem's office and the speaker's office has a budget, and the state actually has a budget for redistricting. So this should not. So why we're having to put extra money? And by the way, here's a piece that freaks me out, man. The ethics laws. I find it a little interesting that an organization that was funded by legislators can then potentially lobby the legislature, and they vote on what their organization asked for. I mean, this is ripe for disaster.
Well, and this is not something Alabama does real well. I mean, we're always in court over redistricting. We're always under the scrutiny of some left-wing liberal activist group with deep pockets. We're always doing something that's getting us in trouble. That doesn't seem like a bad idea to do it this way, to draw anybody's eyeballs. I mean, just this is like, it makes you think this is not the best idea for the Alabama legislature to be going, be kind of behind the scenes and operating in this manner.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely does. I mean, it's like you said, we don't have a strong history of doing a good job of redistricting, apparently.
No.
And so why would you try to make it worse by creating an organization that can then be accused of having had undue influence? And so if you need a consultant, I get it. But at least get out there out front and go, hey, look, every legislator, not just a few, every legislator is going to contribute $1,000, but Democrat and Republican, and we're going to have them help us draw these maps and then be transparent about it. Or say, hey, the Republicans are going to hire a guy and we're going to use a 501c4 because you can only give your campaign dollars to a charitable organization, 501c4. But a 501c4 and not a 501c3, that's where you get a little weird. Because C4s are allowed to be political.
Well, they don't have to disclose their donors.
That
you know?
Too.
So the suspicion would be when AEA, when Alpha, when BCA, when Forestry, when any of these groups with outsized influences in Montgomery, the alphabet soup, if you will, would they put money in this? And I don't know that they necessarily care about the congressional lines. But certainly with the legislative lines in 2021. But let me tell you this. The reason this came up, Senator, was the same people that screwed this up the last few times are the same people involved this time with their same draconian rules and their same sort of condescending attitude toward our elected officials about who can and who can't see the maps or be involved. And that is... You know, there's just a level of frustration that we're failing, but we keep doing the things the same way.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, at some point you have to look at a failing track record and go, I don't think we'll hire that same consultant again. But hey, listen, this organization, this 501c4 that y'all uncovered, it's called Citizens for Fair Representation. It was founded in November of 2020, and there was three political consultants: Elizabeth Williams, Ashley Newman, and Bradley Cox. They're the ones who founded it, according to the Secretary of State's records. Have you talked to any of those three?
No, or they wouldn't talk on the record or wouldn't respond. But, I mean, these are all well-known names in that political consulting world in Montgomery. So, I mean, they all have ties. Either it's like the Katie Britt campaign or just Bradley Cox has run a number of campaigns in Alabama. He's well-known around the state. So these aren't... Like, these aren't people that are just out of the blue. They are sort of known figures.
Are they part of the same firm, or are they independents?
I think they'd all operate as independent contractors. They all do their own kind of one-man shop stuff.
Well, I mean, this one just feels like monkey business, man, and I hope y'all are going to do some follow-up stories on it, because the last thing we need is to wind up having to go back to court on redrawing our lines again because someone is able to prove that a smoky backroom deal using a 501c4 founded by legislators or funded by legislators somehow corrupted the process. That's going to be a total mess if it happens.
Yeah, and one of the map drawers is a guy named Randy Hanneman. And he had to testify in the Milligan case, and he kind of acknowledged that, number one, the existence of the group, but it's called Citizens for Fair Representation. This sounds like a left-wing sort of Sorosy thing, right? But it's not at all. It's Republican. And he talks a little bit about it, acknowledged that this is where it gets really kind of tricky. In this video deposition, he says he takes money from the state and from this nonprofit. So he's sort of double dipping here, which is like, can a guy do this for both entities? And or I guess more importantly, can he do it for the state of Alabama and give the citizens, the taxpayers, the best bang for their buck? And you know, especially on these when there's competing narratives potentially.
Yeah, this is a wacky situation, man. And you've got all the names. And like you said, we don't know who the other players are, but you've got all the names of the politicians, because in order to use their campaign dollars to help fund this, they have to report it. And I mean, I'm looking down the list. You've got them dropping $5,000 each out of their campaign accounts, and it's even the leadership of the House and Senate. So I hope y'all are able to bird dog this some more and find somebody who will actually talk to you, because this has got to... They either need to get out there real quick and say, nothing to see here and here's why, and lay it all out on the table so we can see it, or explain why they won't. And that's this is a problem.
Well, I mean, one more thing, Senator. When we were asking around, a lot of these guys said, well, this is the way the Democrats did it before us. And I guess that's supposed to be the justification. But wasn't it supposed to be a brand new era when you guys took over in 2010 and we were going to be done with this sort of...
Yeah. Did we just lose the signal? I think we may have just lost him. Jeff, you still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, yeah. I thought we lost you there. Yeah, it was supposed to be a change. It was supposed to be a whole new day. And it was a whole new day, by the way, for at least a good 8 years. But you've seen it too. The AEA has crept back in, and they're taking money from the AEA. You've got any number of things like, you know, tax increases without tax decreases. You've got budget surpluses without consideration given to small business. You know, it's not like it's quite the same level of. In fact, I heard somebody, and it might have been Dick Brubaker, former state senator Dick Brubaker, who said that the current trend within the Alabama legislature is to be more transactional and less philosophical. And whereas in 2010, we were very philosophical. We came in with philosophical principles we were attacking, that they've moved to a transactional mode, like, what can I get out of this if I pass your bill? And
one more thing they do, Senator, is they don't run it like a Republican supermajority where you can just steamroll the opposition. The transactional stuff is in the sense that, well, we have great negotiating leverage. We can do whatever we want. The transactional nature is like if we are at a 51-49 split, but Republicans just barely in charge, so we got to make the other side happy so we can get what we want.
You're right, and it's unnecessary. That's why if you look around that school choice didn't pass, it's because they didn't want to. Or if you look around and say tax cuts didn't pass, it's because they didn't want to. If you look around and see why medical marijuana is what it is, it's because they wanted it. And when you watch gambling come up again sometime in the near future, you wait and see. What do they want? That's what will happen. But they have to. If they don't want it, they're a supermajority. They can do whatever they want to, but they're not getting the true conservative Republican agenda passed on a regular basis. They're dabbling at it.
Right. It's not what people thought they had voted for, right? It is something completely foreign to what Republicans or like what people assume Republicans are doing. This is just, it's not woke Democrat, but it's not championing conservative causes either.
Yeah, and it's gotten a little purple. And I said on my show not long ago, this is what happens when you don't have any true competition in the state. You rise to the level of your competition. Democrats are a nothing burger right now in state politics. And so that being said, Republicans have a chance to get fat and lazy. They don't have to prove that they are who they are because they have no competition to make them be who they are. Hey, brother, I got to go up against the break. I ran a little bit long, but appreciate your time, man.
All right.
Jeff Poor, editor-in-chief, 1819 News, host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile. And you'll hear him again on the Grand Council on Wednesdays. All right. Taking a break. Coming right back. We're going to stay with it. I got plenty of text messages to check out. And oh, by the way, more monkey business. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.